නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ ආනාපාන සති භික්කවේ භාවිතා බහුලී කතා මහප්පලා හෝති මහානිසංසාති. Dear Dhamma friends, as you all can remember, we are discussing Anapana Sati Sutta, which is available in Majjhima Nikaya. And if we little recall what we have discussed, basically Buddha was living at Migaramatupasada, that is the area or the monastery built by Visakha. And at that time Buddha spent 3 months, that is the Vassa period. And at the end of the Vassa, and typically the monks conduct the Pavarana Uposatha, where they all get together and sort of make a formal request if there is any kind of a mistake or shortcoming that they have heard or they have noticed in each person, then please, out of compassion, please let me know so that I can correct myself. So that kind of a very beautiful formality is there in the Pavarana Uposatha. And that after that is completed, then basically Buddha see that the crowd is quite determined to meditation, and therefore Buddha, rather than actually starting the wandering practice, that is, I mean, traveling from one city to the other city, so Buddha decided to spend another month at the same place. So then that is being transmitted to the monks, and they got the news, and after that they started to practice diligently. And many senior monks like Venerable Mahasariputta, Venerable Moggallana, Venerable Mahakassapa, Venerable Mahakappina, so likewise a list of main arahants were listed in the sutta, and they were instructing the other young monks, and those young monks also quite determined to attain but they haven't attained. And therefore, they also further started to practice. Now, some similarly, the whole Vassa period comes to an end. So after 1 month, so then again, Buddha summoned all the bhikkhus, and they were staying in the open air. And at that time also, Buddha see the minds of the monks. So at that time also, Buddha has noticed that these monks are quite determined to practice, and they are now quite diligent. And again, there are arahants among this crowd, there are non-returners among this crowd, and there are once returners among this crowd, and again there are extreme winners in this crowd, and there may be others who are still practicing. And therefore again Buddha see that the crowd is quite determined, and again pure in their determination, and therefore Buddha praise them, telling whatever the things that a layperson gives to this sort of crowd of monks, so that will be really a fruitful offering and a worthy offering, because the monks are representing the good qualities of the Sangha. You know that typically the Sangha is represented with Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho, Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho, Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho. So likewise we know the typical veneration used to respect the Sangha. So those qualities are embedded in the all Sangha. So therefore Buddha is praising the Sangha who has gathered at this place. And then further Buddha explained what are the meditation techniques that they are using. So there's a list of meditation techniques explained in the sutta. So there are four foundations of mindfulness, which are some monks are practicing, and certain others are practicing four right kinds of striving, and that is the Iddhipada. And then certain others are practicing four spiritual powers, and then that is the so that is the Iddhipada. Actually the previous one is actually Sammappadana, the different kinds of efforts, four types of effort. And then actually the faculties and the powers, those are Indriya and Bala. and then enlightenment factors, Sattabhujjhanga, seven enlightenment factors, and certain others are practicing Noble Eightfold Path. And further, certain other monks are practicing four sublime abidings. Those are the Brahma Viharas, Metta, Karuna, Mudita, Upekkha, and certain others are practicing foulness, Asubha Bhavana, and certain others are practicing impermanence, and certain others are practicing mindfulness of breathing. Now Buddha see that many monks are practicing many different types of meditations. Now he is coming up with a different kind of a recipe which is suitable for all the monks. And again we can say it's a kind of a shortcut to attain enlightenment through Anapanasati. So Anapanasati, mindfulness on breathing, has become sort of the theme of the whole practice, using which Buddha is explaining, if we are practicing according to the recipe given by the Buddha, then we are able to fulfill four foundations of mindfulness. As we develop four foundations of mindfulness, we are able to fulfill seven enlightenment factors. And once we are completing seven enlightenment factors, then one may attain path fruition, that is the Vijja Vimutti. So therefore, this is a kind of an interesting methodology which Buddha is explaining. So therefore, we are now going one after the other. So especially the whole sutta is arranged in such a way to explain how four foundations of mindfulness can be developed using Anapanasati, and how Anapanasati can be used to develop seven enlightenment factors, and then further to develop Vijja and Vimutti. Now, if we go to the very beginning of the Anapanasati, that is mindfulness of breathing, so Buddha first of all explained to find a suitable place. So it has to be a quiet place for a beginner, because otherwise it would be difficult for him to concentrate. And therefore Buddha advised either to go to a rural area, in the sense kind of a silent place, maybe a under a root of a tree, or maybe a forest. So likewise, one has to find a suitable place. So once he found such a suitable place, and then he is actually keeping his posture properly, because in order for Anapanasati to happen properly, so the body has to have a very convenient and suitable position, suitable posture. So therefore we have to have a balanced posture. You have to keep the head straight, neck straight, shoulders in a relaxed position, and hands may be resting on the lap, and upper half of the body straight, and keeping the body in a more comfortable manner so that the breathing happens smoothly. So such posture has to be prepared at the beginning. So once that is done, then we have to keep the attention at the nostril, so that is the establishment of mindfulness at the nostril. So that is where the mind parimukhang sating upattapetva. Now keep the mindfulness intact. Now keep the mindfulness as the main thing. While keeping our attention at the nostril, now try to recognize breathing. So sato vasa sati, sato passa sati. So there Buddha mentioned. So now nothing else, just try to be mindful about in-breath and be mindful about out-breath. As much as possible, we have to allow the body to breathe naturally. And while we are keeping our attention at the nostril, we are aware now it is in-breath happens and now it is out-breath happens. Now, in order to facilitate this further, we can use labeling, because still our mind may wander. So in order to avoid that or to minimize that, we can use labeling, or what we call noting. When we are experiencing in-breath, we note it as in. When we are experiencing out-breath, we note it as out. So likewise, we are using this sort of noting just to further enhance concentration. And sometimes even we can use some sort of a counting mechanism, like each in-breath and out-breath we count as one, the next in-breath and out-breath we count as two, next in-breath and out-breath we count as three. So likewise, we can use counting technique as well. But once we reach maybe 10, we have to come back to 0 or come back to 1, so that counting would not be a burden to the mind. Rather, it would be a very simple technique further to enhance concentration. So if one succeeds this process, then it is possible to establish mindfulness, and once mindfulness has established, then Buddha takes us to the next four steps. So those four steps are considered as kayanupassana. So one is aware that the breathing is now has become longer. Previously it was not experiencing for a long time, but now he is experiencing it for a considerable period of time. So he consider now the in-breath is longer. Similarly, the out-breath is also longer. So likewise, there can be a kind of a change in the breathing pattern. At the beginning, probably one may experience one way of breathing, and after a while, he may experience it differently. So, say for example, if one has previously experienced in-breath for 5 seconds, now probably he is experiencing it for 8 seconds or 10 seconds. So comparatively, he understands, okay, now the breathing has become longer. So similarly, sometimes the opposite also can happen. It can become shorter. It can be within 2-3 seconds, the breathing might have finished. So likewise, one is fully aware of this process, and therefore one knows how the breathing pattern happens. Now the third step, Buddha asks to clearly know further information about the breathing, because breathing does not start abruptly, rather it is starting very smoothly. So therefore there is a smooth beginning or slow beginning, very soft beginning, and then one reaches the middle area, and then one reaches the end. And again, probably there may be a situation, most probably one may experience little gap as well, just before the beginning of the out-breath. And then the out-breath begins, then the middle, then the end. And again, there's a little gap just before the beginning of next in-breath. So likewise, one is now very carefully observing this whole breathing cycle. So that is sabbakaya patisangvedi asasissamiti sikkhati, sabbakaya patisangvedi passasissamiti sikkhati. That is the third step. And something interesting happens at this level. So we started to experience more and more subtle details of the breath, and therefore more information going to be available for a certain period of time. And once we reach a particular kind of a region, then it turns back. It turns differently. In the sense, all the details that we have experienced started to fade away. Now you can't distinguish different characteristics. Rather, even you may can't understand whether it is in-breath or out-breath. Even such thing can happen. So therefore it is not, we can't simply say it's a kind of a logical kind of a pattern. Logically or rationally we might think, okay, we should experience more and more details endlessly. So that should be the thing which has to happen logically. But it is not the way the process develops. So once we reach a particular place, kind of an optimal region, then we are turning to the other side. Naturally it is happening, so the breathing starts to calm down, tranquilizing the breath. So that is the fourth stage. So when now breathing also has tranquilized, so one may start to feel quite contented, quite happy, quite rapturous. So that has to be considered as a person who is looking at the process from outside. So from Kayanupassana section, we are building up some sort of a perspective where the breathing process happens, which is a bodily process, and we are able to observe that process from distant. So this perspective is extremely important. So there is a bodily process going on, and we are not trapped in that, but trapped or attached to that bodily process. Rather, we are able to look at it like an outsider. So now we are bringing this perspective to the next section, next four steps. So that is coming under Vedananupassana. Now the body and mind is going through some pleasurable feelings, happy feelings, and those also not grasped, those also not wished. Rather, those are to be looked at objectively. So one is now looking at breathing process, or even the breathing process actually has calmed down. Now body is going through some pleasurable sensations. Mind is also quite happy, and this happiness, these pleasurable sensations, one has to look at objectively. So that is the fifth step, or the first step of Vedana Anupassana. Fifth step of the whole process, that is the 16 process steps, but that is the beginning of the Vedana Anupassana. Piti Patisangvedi Asasi Samiti Sikkati, Piti Patisangvedi Pasasi Samiti Sikkati. So similarly, one may go to the next stage, Sukhapati Sangvedi Asasi Samiti Sikkati, Sukhapati Sangvedi Pasasi Samiti Sikkati, where Buddha say, one may experience happiness, one may experience some sort of a comfort in the body. So this is a part of Vedana Anupassana, because you know there are three types of feelings: pleasurable feelings or happy feelings, and then painful feelings, and then equanimous feelings. Now most of the time yogi is experiencing pleasurable feelings, so rather than attach to them or rather than identify with them, so one is able to look at them objectively. And if we are able to do that properly, then what happens is different perceptions also might arise. Perceptions here in the sense, now the body has fairly calmed down and breathing process has fairly calmed down. Therefore, there is no any gross bodily process to latch on. And again, the different feelings also has arisen, and those also properly handled. Those also therefore have subsided, tranquilized. Now there could be some stored signs, perceptions, marks available in our memory. So those might come to the surface of the mind. So we should not get carried away by those perceptions. Rather, we have to look at them properly. Those are merely perceptions. Those are merely signs. So this is something interesting. Say for very faithful people, say if your faith is quite high, you are a very faith-oriented person, then there's a possibility a Buddha image might appear, or pagoda might appear. So likewise, very pleasant symbol might appear in the mind. Or if you are a little kind of a hatred character, then there could be a possibility that maybe a skeleton might appear, a demonic say image might appear. So likewise, so some different type of mental images might appear. But we should know that we are closing our eyes. But this is what we see is a mental image. But this mental image is so vivid, so bright, or so important. So we are giving a lot of value to it. And ultimately we get caught with it. And we think this is real Buddha. We think this is real pagoda. We think this is a real skeleton. We think this is a real past away relative. So this is where we get deluded. So therefore Buddha mentioned all these different types of marks, symbols, mental images are nothing but a mirage. Marija kupama sanya. So we should have this wisdom when we are going through this experience. Otherwise we are giving unnecessary value to these experiences, these images, and we get caught to this experience. You can remember that we have to maintain a kind of a perspective. We are not attached to the experience. We are not repelled by the experience. Again, we are not frightened by the experience. We can mindfully accept the experience. Most importantly, we are looking at it objectively. So this perspective has to be maintained here as well, without adding any value to it. So now we understand this is merely a symbol. This is merely a mental image. This is merely a sign. This is merely a perception. So if we handle this properly in the third step of Vedana Anupassana, then that also start to fade away, tranquilizing the mental formations. So mental formations, that is the chitta sankhara, is a umbrella term used for perceptions and feelings, vedana and sanya. And so different types of feelings can arise, different types of perceptions can arise, and we have to handle them properly. If so, everything starts to calm down. Now we are reaching the third tetrad, so that is belonging to the Chittanupassana. Now one has to experience the mind. So probably perceptions also have experience in the mind, feelings also have experience in the mind. But now it is different in a way. At that time we are coming through a process which is more and more calming down. Now we have to little relax the situation so that mind might wander even. Because you know, if we are kind of restricting the mind, then we can't really practice Chittanupassana, because mind may like stuck and nothing would come to the mind. Then we can't understand the integrities of the mind, or we can't understand the sort of the behavior of the mind. So in order for us to understand the behavior of the mind, we should allow the mind to little play. So that's a beautiful simile given by Venerable Analeo, and he is mentioning, now say you are taking your children to a playground. You are a mother or you are a father, and you are taking your little children to a playground. Because suppose that your home doesn't have enough space, and once you take your children to the playground, you should allow them to play. You can't keep them closer to you. You should allow them to play as they wish. So they are running, they are jumping, they are laughing, so all sorts of playing that they are doing. So you should allow that. But you may have a kind of a distant look. If they sort of come up with sort of an injury, probably you may attend to them. But otherwise, you have to allow them to play as they like. Then only you can watch them that they are playing. But you are not playing, you are distantly watching them. So similar perspective has to be maintained in the Chittanupassana. Now, rather than restricting the mind, you have to little relax the effort. Then mind again start to wander, but you are not frightened about it, because you know how to handle the mind. Because you went through Kayanupassana, you went through Vedanupassana, you know now what is mindfulness, you know some amount of clear comprehension. So therefore you are not a simple beginner, rather you know how to handle things. So this is how we are developing kind of self-confidence, because you know what is mindfulness, you know how to handle the mental situation which is arising. So therefore you are allowing the mind to play a little. So this should be kept in mind. So otherwise you can't really observe the mind. Mind may not have any thoughts at all. Mind may not get any defilement at all if we keep it extremely restricted. Rather, we have to allow the mind to play a little with relaxed effort. Then only the mind may start to little wander. Then we understand what's really going on. Now we are experiencing the mind. Suppose there are lustful thoughts arising, so you know that it as a lustful thought. There may be a little hatred arising, you know it is a hateful thought, ill will. There may be a little kind of say discomfort and maybe a little frustrated thought arising, and you know it's a kind of a frustrated thought. And there may be a very pleasant thought arising, say you are having some sort of loving kindness thought, and you know it is a loving kindness thought. There may be a renunciative thought arising, and you know it is a renunciative thought. So you are not in a way appreciating renunciative thought, or you are not rejecting or condemning some sort of a lustful thought. Rather, even this you are looking at objectively. So this is the most important thing. So either it is a wholesome thought, either it is an unwholesome thought, doesn't matter. You are looking at them non-judgmentally. So Now you are penetrating thoughts in a way. Even it is a wholesome thoughts, you are not promoting at this level. Even it is an unwholesome thought, you are not trying to immediately suppress it. Rather, you allow that process to come and go by itself. You are allowing that thought to arise and to stay for a while if it likes, but you are not participating in it, you are not feeding it. As a result of that, you see what is really happening. Because in order for us to see the real behavior of a thought, we have to have this very mindful and unbiased, non-judgmental attitude at this level. Because if it is a wholesome thought, and if we start to appreciate it, and if we want to welcome it, and if we are feeding it, then many, many wholesome thoughts start to arise. So that is not the way. If this is an unwholesome thought, and if we are frightened about it, and if we want to quickly push it away, then we can't see the real life cycle of that unwholesome thought. So therefore, we have to have a very equanimous attitude built in the mind, again well equipped with the clear comprehension and mindfulness, then only we can look at it objectively, either wholesome or either unwholesome. Therefore, at this stage, Buddha makes a very categorical statement: Naham bhikkhave muttassatissa asampajanassa anapanasati samadhin vadami. So he, at this Chittanupassana section, he make a very strong statement telling that I am not recommending this anapanasati section for a person who is having wavering mindfulness and with little clear comprehension. So one has to have very kind of a strong mindfulness as well as very good clear comprehension in order to handle this process. He know what is the perspective which has to be maintained, and he is not rejecting or repelling any unwholesome thoughts, so he is not attracted and promoting, feeding wholesome thoughts, but he has this very middle equanimous attitude to look at everything per objectively. So now he is doing that. Now what happens? If he is doing that, now slowly they start to come and go, they start to come and go, and they are not bothering you. They are simply like visitors, and you are very much like kind of an owner of a house. You are not interested about these visitors, so they simply try to tempt you. Since you are maintaining some sort of an unwavering attitude, so they simply go away. Another visitor comes, and you are simply watching without reacting, and they simply go away. So likewise, you start to understand their real nature. You will understand all these thoughts have a nature of coming and going. All these thoughts also have the nature of arising and passing away. Due to various reasons, causes, they may arise, but you are not participating in them, you are not feeding them. As a result of that, they may go through natural cessation. Now, this probably may gladden the mind because you are not considering anything as a burden. You allow the process to happen, and you are like taking the back seat. You allow the driver to drive as he like. You are simply enjoying the environment. You are simply enjoying the scenery, something like that. You are not asking him to stop and see. Rather, he is driving and you are simply watching. You are in the back seat. As a result of that, you get a very relaxed atmosphere in the mind. So those thoughts which were bothering you are now has become merely thoughts. So you are therefore getting some sort of a gladdened state of mind. And so that attitude further relaxes the mind, and therefore the mind become further concentrated. Samahitam, sorry, what you call this, gladden in the mind, and then once that region is passed away or passes, then your mind becomes concentrated. Because mind doesn't need to wander. It is not because your effort that mind has become concentrated, rather, mind has concentrated by itself. Because it has a very positive atmosphere in itself, very comfortable atmosphere within itself, therefore it doesn't want to wander. It is not through kind of an effort that you are maintaining this state, rather mind has realized no need to go out, no need to get distracted. As a result of that, the mind become concentrated. So there's a big difference. Say if you are practicing some sort of a samatha practice, so you have to maintain a fair amount of effort because mind doesn't have much of an understanding. But here mind has some amount of understanding. Actually, that will be further strengthened in the next section, in Dhammanupassana section. Even at this level, mind has some amount of understanding by looking at the mind, looking at different, say, thoughts and understanding their behavior. So you have some amount of wisdom. As a result of that, now mind is becoming more and more concentrated. Now, as the last stage, whatever is coming to the mind, now you have a kind of property of relinquishing. So you are like to liberate the mind. You don't want to stuck with anything. You don't want to grasp anything. You don't want to hold anything because it is quite impermanent. These thoughts are not yours. They are merely thoughts. It could be a wholesome thought, it could be an unwholesome thought, doesn't matter. All of them have the nature to come and go. So then, can I have lasting happiness with a wholesome thought? Cannot. Because it is an impermanent. It can't make you happy forever. Likewise, you are developing very strong understanding rather than holding any wholesome thought. Rather than you are rejecting any unwholesome thought, you allow them to naturally cease. After they naturally cease, what you have is a liberated mind. Now one is experiencing this liberated mind. So therefore, in this Anapanasati Sutta, so this liberation point or the releasing happens in the mind is emphasized at the last section of Chittanupassana. So this is a kind of a significant difference between Anapanasati Sutta and the Satipatthana Sutta. In Satipatthana Sutta, each and every section, each and every Kammatthana has its own full cycle. Say for example, if one refer Kayanupassana section of Satipatthana Sutta, it has 14 different types of meditation techniques. Each one is a complete one. Say, if you consider Dhatumanasikara available in Kayanupassana. So first of all, you understand different elements, and then you understand how they behave. Samudaya Dhammanupassīva Kāyasmin Viharati, Vaya Dhammanupassīva Kāyasmin Viharati. So that is the Vipassana part. So you are realizing how impermanent, how unsatisfactory, and what is their non-self characteristic. So this is the Vipassana part, and ultimately, this leads to the liberation. This leads to the releasing of the mind. That is the anisthitova viharati nacakinchi loke upadhyati. So one may encounter kind of a situation where our mind is not attached to anything, not grasping anything, not associating anything. So that can be happened or that can be fulfilled at the Kayanupassana section itself. Each and every Kammatthana included in Kayanupassana section and the Vedanupassana section, Chittanupassana section, and the five types of Dhammanupassana sections available in Satipatthana Sutta, each one is a complete section. But here in Anapanasati Sutta, Buddha is going through a different approach. In the Kayanupassana section, this liberation is not that highlighted. Vedanupassana also, that is not really highlighted. But in the Chittanupassana section, it is highlighted. So you have fairly calmed down the bodily formations at the Kayanupassana section. And now different feelings and perceptions are also calmed down in the Vedanupassana section. And now you get further understanding about the mind in the Chittanupassana section, and you do a complete release. Now what to do? Now you have to further season this process. So one has now recognized unattached, unassociated state in the mind at the last section of Chittanupassana, that is the Vimochayan Chittang Asasissamiti Sikkhati. Vimochayan Chittang Passasissamiti Sikkhati. So you are practicing releasing the mind, and once the mind is released, you have to further strengthen that release. And if mind get attached, you have to look at it as impermanent. So when mind going to attach, whatever the condition phenomena arising, whatever the condition phenomena that one may be experiencing, you have to look at them dispassionately. You have to have kind of a attitude of relinquishment. And you prefer to stay, keep the mind released. So that is properly emphasized in the Dhammanupassana section. So Dhammanupassana section available in Anapanasati Sutta, therefore applicable to Kayanupassana, to Vedananupassana and to Chittanupassana. Say you are able to release the mind in the 12th step of Chittanupassana and assume that now a kind of bodily formation arises. Say you get some sort of itching characteristic, or you get some sort of a vibration. But you are looking at it objectively and you understand it is impermanent. Anicchanupassi. And once you look at it, impermanent nature, so mind may acquire some amount of wisdom through that and mind may release it. Suppose you understand it's fading away. It is ceasing. You understand that. And as a result of that, again mind get released. And you allow it to happen naturally. In the sense, those vibrations are happening and you are looking at them objectively. And you are not participating, you are not feeding them, you are not grasping them. The process happens by itself naturally and it ceases. Natural cessation. After that, again mind get released. So whatever bodily phenomena arising, you have the attitude of relinquishment. Patanissagga anupassiya asasissamiti sikkhati. So the fourth step of Dhammanupassana is applicable even to the Kayanupassana section. Assume now you are experiencing some sort of a happy feeling, a pleasurable feeling. So you understand it is impermanent. You are allowing it to happen, but you are not promoting or grasping it. You allow it to naturally evolve and it will fade away. So you understand it is impermanent and it has faded away. There may be a painful feeling arising. You understand it is impermanent. It is coming and going. And it is fading away. Viraganupassi. And once it has gone, again you are back in the release of the mind. So you have the attitude of relinquishment. Whatever the feeling arises, you have the attitude of relinquishment. And there could be even certain perceptions arise. Again Buddha image might appear. I am just giving an example. But you understand it's also impermanent. You are not feeding it. You are not giving any value to it. It is coming and going. It's merely a symbol. It's merely a mental image. It could be a kind of a perception. It is also coming and going. And it is fading away now. Because you are not promoting it. It is fading away. So you are looking at it properly. And once it has gone, again mind has released. So you are maintaining that kind of an attitude, looking at them impermanent, looking at them as fading away, understanding and allowing them to cease, and you are maintaining an attitude of relinquishment, whatever the perceptions, whatever the feelings arise. Suppose now you come in back to the mind, so you have a very relaxed mind. You even allow the mind to wander if it is necessary. And you are not having a very strong samadhi, Rather, you are having a clarity of mind. So different thoughts arise, they are coming and they are going. It is impermanent. So you understand them as impermanent. You understand their behavior, real behavior. It is not that you make them impermanent, but they have their inherent characteristic that is impermanent. And now they are fading away. And once they have gone, again back, again mind is in the cessation, or mind is back in the release. So you have the attitude of relinquishment, whatever thought arise in the mind, and you know it is impermanent, you know they will fade away, you allow them to naturally cease, you have an attitude of relinquishment, and you are back in the release, you are back in the freedom. So therefore, this what you call whole process, I can show you in a kind of a diagram. So this Dhammanupassana section is applicable to Chittanupassana, applicable to Vedananupassana, applicable to Kayanupassana, as I showed in this diagram. So while we are developing Kayanupassana, actually we didn't, at that time, we didn't practice these different levels because we are just a beginner. While we are practicing Vedananupassana also, we didn't, probably might have not looked at them this level. But now, once we go through Chittanupassana and understood the release of mind, freedom of mind, now we can enhance that freedom by applying wisdom, by applying vipassana techniques. Now, whenever you are practicing Kayanupassana, you incorporate that with these four levels. You incorporate that with these four vipassana approaches. Different bodily formations arise, but you are looking at them as impermanent, or you are experiencing their impermanence. You are experiencing how they fade away, and you understand how they cease because you allow them to naturally cease. And once they have completely faded away or ceased, then again mind is released. Whatever perceptions arise, whatever feelings arise, similarly, you can look at them with proper wisdom. Now actually, you are incorporating that vipassana part into Kayanupassana. You are incorporating vipassana part into Vedananupassana. You are incorporating vipassana part into Chittanupassana. So therefore, it's a very beautiful technique that Buddha is coming up with. First, he didn't go to vipassana at the very early stages. But once you are going through systematically with the body, then with the feelings and perceptions, and ultimately come into the mind, and one may experience release of mind, now he is further strengthening that process by applying vipassana techniques. So now the yogi is well equipped, fairly wise. Now he is not merely practicing Kayanupassana. So his Kayanupassana is coupled with this four stages mentioned in the Dhammanupassana. He is now doing the full practice of Kayanupassana, as we do in the Satipatthana Sutta. Now itself, it's a fully fledged, full Kammatthana, having proper understanding, having mindfulness, and on top of that, have the Vipassana approach. You are looking at them impermanent, as impermanent, you're looking at they are fading away, and you allow them to naturally cease, and you are maintaining an attitude of relinquishment, and ultimately mind is enjoying release, because whatever arising is a conditioned phenomena, and once they fade away, once they ceased, what you are experiencing is some sort of unconditioned. That is the release of mind, the freedom of mind. So therefore, this Anapanasati Sutta is a very interesting way that Buddha has presented, so that one may go in through a very beautiful process, and ultimately he is strengthening that process, adding some very good vipassana or wisdom to it, and maintaining that release mind as much as possible at the latter stages. So hope you understood the whole process, and with that I like to conclude today's sutta teaching session. Now we can get on to the question and answers.
And you're not familiar with the format, you may raise your hand to ask questions directly, or you can also send me via the chat. Chita Devi, you may ask a question.
Thank you, Jennifer. Now, Bhante, today's section from number 20, when the Buddha encourages us to experience the mind and gladden the mind, he then goes on to say to concentrate the mind. So, isn't that going via the Samatha Bhavana? He says, trains us concentrating the mind. Achar, breathe in and breathe out, concentrating the mind. So, isn't that going via the Samatha Bhavana?
I can't say so, because the next is releasing the mind or liberating the mind. Typically, Samatha Bhavana actually talks about absorptions. Say, if you consider jhana, so you have some sort of object, and you are again and applying your mind to that object, and ultimately mind become that object. Mind become that. So it is not a, it is, we can't say therefore it's a kind of a real liberation, rather it is a kind of a, say, being unique or being united with that object. So you become one with that object. But on the other hand, in vipassana, you are not having any object at all. So you see the difference. Vipassana approach has taken. So you see the real nature of different phenomena, and you have seen the phenomena, how they are behaving at the body level. You have seen how they are behaving at the feeling level, perception level, and again now at the sankhara level, as different thoughts and attitudes and etc. As a result of that, mind does not want to attach to them. Now they are fading away. Not having anything, mind has become concentrated.
Yeah. Because in my case, as I have mentioned before, when I come to this stage, I don't have many thoughts, because I think the mind gets pretty concentrated, so I just let it happen.
Yeah.
And only occasional thoughts come.
Yeah.
Very, very not much. So, I try to watch the mind, because you have said to watch these thoughts coming in and going.
Yeah.
I don't have many thoughts coming in, Bhante.
Yeah, true. So that is where we have to little allow the mind to play. How we allow the mind to play is by reducing the concentration. So it is very much like you are loosening the concentration, and you allow mind to come to the surface rather than being in the bottom, rather than being in the deep. You allow the mind to come little bit to the surface level, and you are in order to do that, you are releasing or reducing the effort. And as a result of that, mind now come to the surface. So, when you are releasing effort, definitely mind might wander. Because of inner tendencies, now mind might wander. So, at that time, you look at them objectively. How these different thoughts happen, how these different tendencies happen. You are observing them, releasing them. Observing them, releasing them. Actually, this is happening at the walking, mostly. Say, while walking also, now you are trying to keep the mind free. But it is difficult, because you are watching, because many things are visible, many things are audible, and many sensations are also there. Again, mind go and grasp something. But you are aware of it and you release it. Again, mind come back and released. So this kind of a natural process is encouraged, so that you are getting, it is not that you are restricted yourself in a concentrated framework like thing. Rather, you allow the mind to little play as it like, and you watch its behavior, and you are trying to understand its behavior, understand how ignorant it is, how impermanent these things are, and no point of grasping these things. So likewise, you are educating the mind. So the kind of a cognitive transformation is going on. So you are allowing the mind to understand. So the wisdom part is the one which is being highlighted. So once that is further and further strengthened, then automatically mind releases things without grasping.
Because I come to a level where the whole body is very relaxed,
right.
very extremely relaxed, and the mind also is very relaxed.
Right.
And I kind of stay in that level, and I'm trying to see whether how these thoughts are coming or not.
Yeah.
I am not tightening or anything. I'm totally relaxed, body
good,
and
good,
mind.
Good, good, good.
But I cannot. I'm watching because I can watch with this very relaxed state.
Yeah.
But not much is happening at that stage. So that's why my question really.
Yes, it can be because you went through kind of a process, and it is. It has developed fair amount of mindfulness and clear comprehension, and again now as a result of that mind got released, and you are well prepared in a way. So as a result of that, these different defilements may not come to the mind. But how to have this skill in day-to-day activities, how to have this skill while in the walking, because we are not really prepared sometimes. And we are not going through a kind of systematic meditation. So still, are we able to maintain a released mind? So this is the approach now we have to take, because now we have experienced some temporary release of the mind. Now we have to further strengthen that released mind, even at the day-to-day activities, even at many other occasions. So likewise, it's a matter of maximizing that release of mind in other activities as well. Because spending hours in sitting, I'm not telling that you are doing it, but as an example, spending hours in sitting is not the real growth that we are getting. Rather, we have to expand the release of mind even in other places, even in other activities. Because already we have succeeded in the sitting.
Yeah. So would you encourage then to do more walking
meditation? Definitely, definitely.
See whether I can
sure.
apply that.
Exactly, yes.
And then transfer it to day-to-day activities as well.
Exactly, yes.
Though it doesn't happen for day-to-day, I mean, I don't have that same extreme body-mind relaxation and calm and peace that I have in the sitting. I don't have it in day-to-day in the sense, you know, we have doing this, that, 100 a month thing, so it doesn't come, but maybe I should try to do slow down for a short time and watch.
Exactly. So likewise, you have to see, you know what is the temporary release of the mind, so why not it available while walking? That you need to question. Then suppose that this temporary release of the mind is now registered in your mind, so you are quickly putting your mind to that while walking. But after a couple of seconds, it may break. Another thought is coming. Now you have some raw material to work.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, Manti. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. I'd like to invite Ananda to ask the next question.
Thank you.
Sonam Therwan Saranai.
Therwan Saranai. Sir, me dhammanupassanave.
Can you tell in English?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, sure. Okay, yeah. No, my question, Bhante, is that in Dhamma, Chittanupassana, you see
saragama cittanti pajanati, like that.
Yes.
The same section, the same lines are coming in dhammanupassana also. I don't remember where it is. I think salayatana or somewhere in Panchakarana.
Uh-huh.
So it's like different, but I just want to understand what's the difference there. But sorry, I was trying to figure out where it is exactly. I can't.
Yeah, remember. Yeah. True, true.
But same. Yeah.
So. Yeah, so basically in the Cittanupassana section available in Satipatthana, so you understand their objective nature. So whether it is wholesome or whether it is unwholesome, doesn't matter. You are looking at them objectively, non-judgmentally, and as a result of that, you understand their impermanent nature. And say when you come to what you call the Nivarana Pabba available in Dhammanupassana, you are further understanding them very clearly, and even absence of them you understand, and even their presence you understand. And again, when they are arising, this very early first thought also you can understand, and probably you may add few thoughts that also you understand. Now you are not participating, as a result of that the whole thing start to fade away, that also you understand. So likewise, when you come to the Nivarana Pabba, so the understanding, the clarity, the more subtle details available is more than in the Cittanupassana section. Cittanupassana section, to that much of subtle details are not available because mindfulness is not that developed. But when you come to Nivarana Pabba in Dhammanupassana, so you can even recognize the very first thought, because you know absence of thought. You know absence of thought, you have experienced that. When just a new single thought, very first thought arising, you can even notice that. So that clarity is available in the Dhammanupassana section. I am talking about the Satipatthana Sutta, and if you consider the Anapanasati Sutta, once you reach Dhammanupassana, so likewise you are developing this skill. So when you are in the Cittanupassana, you probably not have this much of clarity of the whole process, but you are noticing a lustful thought, you are noticing a sort of sorrowful thought, you are noticing an angry thought only when it comes to a certain threshold. But more and more you practice, you may reach a level, even the very first thought you can notice. And you may even experience a complete absence of any thought. So yeah, that is the release of the mind. So there are no thoughts, but kind of an awareness is available. Kind of a natural awareness is available. Very simple, natural, spacious mind is available. So likewise, one is strengthening that release of mind. Yeah, yeah, there one sunlight.
Thank you, Bante. The next question I'd like to invite Mahisha.
Thank you, Jennifer. Sorry, Bante.
Yeah.
My it's rather a question, like, it's my meditation experience I'd like to share with you. So, now when I start the sitting meditation, I will start with sitting. I start with the breathing exercise, the Anapanasati.
Yeah.
And I do it for, you know, just a while, and then my direction, without any intention, like it's just switching off from there to, and then onto sensations. And the practice that I actually followed was in, I mean, I learned from the Goyanka, the looking at the sensations from head to toe,
mm-hmm.
and then all the way up in the exact way that, I mean, he took in those sessions that we were taught. So I actually asked before from you and Swami Mahansi about that, and, you know, said just to follow it. So I was doing that all this time, but like, 1 or 2 months ago, that I actually, when I start this, looking at the sensations, it started starting from the head, and then when I go up to the toes once, and then I have come back again from toes to the top of the head. So, by the way, like halfway or like quarter way, when I'm coming up, I feel like, oh, that's enough. And I feel like kind of bored on that. And then sometimes I go to the state of like unawareness. I know that I'm going to get in there. But I try not to, and then to watch, okay, what's happening in my mind. And now I can actually quickly switch on to that and look at, okay, what's happening in the mind. And then I can see like sometimes the thoughts comes up and then goes away. Another comes up, goes away. So it creeps on like that. And then I feel bored on that also. And then I feel like, okay, let's look at the breath again. So I go to the breath. And then feel like, oh, breath is enough. And then let's go to the sensations. So it goes like a cycle like that.
Mm-hmm.
And keeps on going and going on and on and on until the 1 hour passes. So that's how it's going now. I mean, no complaints, but...
Yeah, but now...
I'm okay with it, but I just thought I should share with you and see whether...
Now, by going through this, what do you understand?
Nothing. I just stay and it's a normal thing for me now and no expectations. I just stay.
Right.
And then I come out and I don't feel, I mean, good or bad or whatever.
Uh-huh.
It just happens and I accept it as it is.
Okay. Probably rather than you see the rising part, you can only try to look at more clearly the ceasing part. Now, different feeling.
Yeah, I watch that as well. Because
okay.
The mind, the thoughts are coming. When it comes, you know, when I'm in the sensation, then looking at the sensations, then slowly a thought coming, creeping, I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I look at it, it's fading away. I can see that it's fading away. And
right.
Then the next one comes up.
Right.
I can keep looking at that. And it keeps on like that. And then I feel bored.
Hmm.
And then think, okay, let's look at the breath.
No, that's the point. So that's the point. So when you start...
It also comes, let's look at the breath now.
No. One moment. So, as you look at whatever it is, and say when you experience cessation, ceasing part, and then you may get the boredom. So, now what you do, the mistake that you do is instead of being in the boredom, you are jumped into a new phenomena. So, that is arising. So, again, you are jumping to the arising side of another phenomena, which is also ceasing, but once you experience cessation, it get boredom and you are again jump into a new phenomenon. So this is not the way to do. So you are experiencing cessation, and as you experience cessation, you come to a boredom. So you have to be in the boredom. Now, you know,
okay.
Typically, so our mind being agitated and we are being away from boredom by agitating the mind. We are stimulating the mind. But now we see the whole cycle, what is going on, and particularly see the cessation side. As a result of that, mind start to let go of everything, and now there is nothing to grasp. So it has all gone. You interpret as kind of a boredom because mind is not agitated. There are no events.
Nothing
is there. There's a kind of a awareness is there without events. So, in this awareness, you simply have to dwell.
Okay.
So, rather than now finding new events, rather than finding new phenomena, how about simply be in this situation? How about simply be in this boredom? So, rather than telling it boredom, you see it is an absence of triggering, absence of conditioned phenomena, absence of any kind of impulses. Absence of sankhara.
Mm-hmm.
So that you have to encourage. So later, once you are familiarized with this situation, your mind may not tell it as a kind of a boredom, but your mind will tell it is an unagitated mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because now we are so conditioned to agitation of the mind. We want always to do something. We always want some activity in the mind. So now you are getting a mind which is free from any activity. But a kind of a very simple awareness is available. So don't interpret that as a boredom. It is a kind of an unagitated mind, a kind of a simple awareness. That is the true nature of the mind. Just be in that.
Okay, I got the point. Yeah, good that I asked the question. I was thinking, okay, no, that's okay. This is natural, I keep doing that. And one more thing, Bhante, now, the part that I said in the first part in my question is, I mean, within few seconds, sometimes even less than a minute or so, I go from looking at the breath to sensations.
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay? And then from sensations to I'm jumping into something else. But at this, I mean, what I'm saying is at the start, is it okay or do we have to do the looking at the breath or the looking at the sensations for a kind of a certain amount of time?
Yeah.
Or is it okay just sit, you sit and then you get into this?
Yeah, it's
is that all right?
Yeah, it depends on you. How much momentum that you have had. So, because by looking at the breath objectively and see its impermanent nature, adds some amount of wisdom. By looking at several sensations and seeing their behavior, you add some wisdom. So, if you feel that now the wisdom is enough to maintain that freedom, now you assume that everything has now ceased. So, let me maintain this cessation for a while. So in order to maintain that, you need to have some backing up coming through the wisdom. But if you quickly jump to the freedom, that wisdom may not be enough for you to maintain it. So that is where you are learning in a way. So at the beginning, suppose I am just giving a simple recipe. Suppose you are developing, you are watching all these different types of phenomena for a while and you are understanding their impermanent nature, etc., etc., for half an hour, for example. And then you understand, okay, this is enough. Now you are watching the cessation part more and more, and now mind has come into a region, kind of a boredom. There are no activities at all, no bodily phenomena, no mental activities. So it's you are simply experiencing nothing in the sense no phenomena, and you stay there. Since you have a fair amount of accumulated wisdom, you are able to sustain that level for a considerable period of time. But assume that you immediately do that in the next session. Say, only 10 minutes you watch those, you immediately put yourself to this state. Then probably, probably you might not be able to maintain this state for 10 minutes, another 5 minutes or 10 minutes, because accumulated wisdom is less.
Less.
But the thing is, more and more in the future, you should not develop that first stage for 30 minutes. You have to try to put it back to that release state within 25 minutes. Next stage within 20 minutes. Next stage within 15 minutes. So likewise, that the release part has to be enhanced.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Bhante.
Yeah, okay.
I understand that.
Okay.
Teruvan Sannai.
Everyone, Sannai.
Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah.
A question that I received says, "Dear Bhante, could you please explain the difference between pitti and pasadi? I have hard time distinguishing between the mental and the physical aspects of rapture and tranquility. Thank you with metta."
First two words, pitti. Titi or Pasadi? Can you put the question to me also, Jennifer?
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Piti.
Piti and Pasadi. Okay, got it. So typically, Piti is a little more gross level of happiness. So you may get certain goosebumps, you may get certain waves, likes, experience. You are feeling it a little gross way, but pasaddhi is more tranquil, more tranquilizing, more calming down, more pleasant, soothing kind of experience. So we can say piti is a little gross and pasaddhi is more subtle. And rupture and tranquility. Rupture, that is the piti. Tranquility is the pastaddi. Yeah.
I'd like to invite Radhika for the next question.
Thank you, Jennifer. Bhante, I just want to share what I did today when we were doing the Dharma talk.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the past, sometimes when I'm listening to a Dharma talk, I go into very strong concentration. So today what I did was, and I just want you to tell me if what I'm doing is okay. I'm trying to loosen it, I guess. What I did was, so I sat down on a chair with a straight back, and I shut my eyes, and I let myself listen to you very carefully, and I closed my eyes. And while I was listening, and I could hear your voice very clearly, word for word, I just observed other things that were happening at the same time. I didn't go to anything, but I observed. So I found that there were four things that I was oscillating between. I listened to your Dhamma talk, and that was my primary focus. But while I was doing that, from time to time, I felt what you call vibrations or some kind of gross sensation running down my body, from my shoulder down the body and down the arms, right? And then I saw it arise and it passed away. I came back to the sound. Then I noticed my breath very clearly. The in-breath, the out-breath, in-breath going in colder, out-breath going out warmer, in-breath going as a rubbing sensation through the nostril, out-breath coming as a brushing sensation on my upper lip. Then I'm back in the sound. Then I noticed that it's kind of strange, it's like almost very tiny, tiny bubbles. It was like a vision or whatever, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
But this was tiny, tiny bubbles floating up,
mm-hmm.
from a lower level to an upper level, like tiny, tiny, very tiny, like, you know, you might see in a glass of soda or Sprite, something, those bubbles coming up like that. So I was listening to your Dhamma talk, and I got everything, I understood everything. But like normally, you know how I write the whole thing out? I didn't do any of that. Instead, I didn't write at all. I didn't type, I didn't write. I just listened to what you were saying. And I observed my mind noticing these four things from time to time. Now, that is different to usually what happens where I'm very much concentrated and I, not word for word, but I have typed out or written something what you have said.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right because I don't want to go into that strong thing that I go into.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Actually, that deep concentration is not the important thing. Rather,
Yes. Seeing
things very clearly. So what is happening in the mind very clearly is quite necessary to understand the nature of the mind, to understand the behavior of the mind. Understand different characteristics of the mind. So once we are stuck in a deep concentration, we miss that.
Yes, that's why I stopped doing that.
Yes.
Instead of that, I was listening today with short notes, no nothing.
Right. Good, good. I think this approach is good one. Good one.
This one is good, right?
Yes, yes.
Because regular meditation, these vibrations coming, but I notice them and then they are disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
And if I get thoughts, I am now examining those thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like in this today, I didn't feel a pleasure. It was when I look at my mind, it's fairly equanimous.
Mm-hmm.
But say that those vibrations are pleasant sensations, but I didn't attach to them.
Mm.
But in my meditation, most of it is very, how shall I put it? It's not it's not pleasurable, or it's not angry thoughts, not lustful thoughts.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they are just ordinary stuff.
No problem. No problem.
There isn't any rapture or any of those things that you were talking about.
Yeah.
I'm not getting it.
Yeah, actually, more and more we come to, or more and more what we are going to experience is equanimity. So therefore, sometimes we interpret as boredom, but it is not really boredom. Rather, it is an equanimous state of mind. Because rupture and this pain and happiness and those kind of things are the ups and downs of the mind. So once we sort of come to a middle range, so that is more equanimous. So majority of our experience is equanimous.
Now, what is the difference between equanimity and what you call adukkhamaka sukha?
Same. Adukkhamasukha is the Pali term for equanimity.
Okay. So then most of the time for me it is like that. Because
yes.
I'm not getting much rapture. And even when I get those vibrations, I know that sometimes they say dhatu guna and the air thing, some say
yes.
But, you know, preeti or rapture or something,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
I'm not really attaching to it because it comes and goes and comes and goes, right?
No problem.
I mean,
so do this observation, so you are in the correct track. Do this observation as much as possible. Then through this observation, the mind has its own understanding, its own experiential knowledge. That is the important thing. It is not that something you learn from someone, or you heard from someone, you read from something. Rather, now the mind is experiencing things by itself. It's a direct experience. So this is why it is called Bhavanamaya Jnana, Bhavanamaya Panya, where it's a its own direct experience. Yeah.
And this is better than like what I get sometimes when I go to a retreat where, like, straight after the giving of the 8 precepts, I go into some kind of a samadhi.
Mm-mm.
And some, I am just seeing myself kind of absorbed in the breath.
Mm.
And I can see, like, it's like almost I'm suctioned to the breath, and then there is no thoughts, nothing.
Yeah, that is absorption. Yeah, that is more deep concentration. Yeah, that is
okay,
a temporary.
So I'm
yeah.
From that into
this.
What you have been
correct.
To do.
Correct. Yes.
So I should continue again longer meditation. Longer walking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing 45 minutes that.
Okay.
And I sitting meditation, I was doing 1 hour 15 minutes.
Mm.
I have sit to about 45 so that I don't go into something else.
Mm-hmm.
Is
yeah.
that okay?
Fine.
Thank you very much, Bante.
Okay.
Sanai.
Yeah, Thervan Sanai.
Bante,
okay.
For the next question, I'll invite Yupendra.
Yes. Good morning, Bhante.
Yeah.
Sarvan Sarnai.
Yeah.
Bhante, I just want to share my experience with you and get some advices.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to do the walking meditation, and while I was doing it, I was looking at my feet and observing it, and I was just getting the feeling how it touches around that 4 areas, like fingertips and the middle part and the part which I was touching the ground, and likewise, and then the bold and sort of a rough feeling as well. So while I was continuing with this for about 45 minutes, then I wanted to look into myself from outside.
Mm.
So I just went outside and observing, and I felt that some feelings are going through my mind, and the comprehension going on. Likewise, different layers, different layers of the body going. And outside, and I was observing myself like a shadow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And after doing that, Bhante, then I actually I didn't want to do meditation. Or it's like an open feeling. So I just went to the armchair and I was just lying down.
Mm.
And then I was just observing myself. And then meanwhile, I was kind of hearing all the Hindi songs. So I was now observing you breathing, kind of observing myself, and then again there was comprehension going on. So when I was observing it, suddenly to the nostrils, I just felt the breathing, which I was used to do. So in breath and out breath. So I was observing it. So it is just naturally happened. So I was just observing it, and there was some rupture going on, very tiny amount within myself. And meanwhile, I was observing it, and then there was that long breath and short breath, and at times that in breath was just breaking into sections, and it was hitting my nostrils, and then some parts are going out like fireworks. And like tiny particles, and then inside it also it's kind of breaking and coming in, and there was some gap between the in-breath and out-breath, and there was some gap between out-breath and in-breath also, some absence. And then I was looking at this, and while I was continuing like this, mind was going, now I actually wanted to look myself from outside, so I was looking at myself lying down. And then I was observing, while I was doing the breathing, observing my nostrils, and at the same time, my mind was going outside and observing some sounds and some other noises. And meanwhile, I felt like now kind of a very comfortable feeling. And in during this process, now up at a stage, mind was also just trying to always trying to focus on this the process of change, and trying to explain to me about the decay, and likewise always. So Bhante, you kind of advised me earlier also, just to, when that happens, just keep it aside and just observe. So I did that at that time, and then meantime mind was getting so calm and quiet, and it was coming to a very sort of a position in between sleep and awake. Kind of with a kind of empty sort of a feeling. So I was just observing it, and meanwhile now my body was dropping down, and my hand was dropping down, and I felt like one of the dogs nearby coming and licking it. And so while I was observing the nostrils, I was observing that also, and I feel that kind of a very warm and also kind of a cold, and when looking around, so I just felt that feeling also, cold feeling. And then actually after some time, after about 1 hour time, I just wanted to stand up, but still the breathing is going on, so it's automatically again I was just kind of observing it. And then I saw two light, sort of a very bright light coming from the top of my left upper side or inside from my body, and it was coming down to my face, and then it was going out. Then the second time also it happened, but it was a little less, the brightness is less than the first time. So likewise this was happening, so I was again trying to observe from outside, and then I waited there for about 1 hour 15 minutes, and then I actually stood up. Bhante, so therefore now when I go to the next time, when I start meditating, where should I begin? Shall I start from the
so actually the process that you have gone through is good one. So basically the observation has happened, and you are able to maintain a kind of an equanimous mind, and that the perspective of watching from distant. So that is the important thing, and you are able to look at everything objectively. So that is pretty good. So just continue this. So once you are continuing this, that emptiness that you have experienced at the latter stages may start to come early.
Okay, man.
So that now suppose that you experience this kind of an emptiness only after 50 minutes, but later it may come, it may reach in 45 minutes. Later it may reach in 35 minutes. So likewise, the region of emptiness may reach more and more earlier in as you continue your practice. So once you are there, just be there.
Okay, Bhante.
Yeah, it's very much like you found a little kind of a destination quickly than the previous days. And once you are in that destination, just be and see what's going on.
Okay, Bhante.
Yeah.
That is from outside the body, Bhante, or shall I just observe?
Just observe. I mean, you don't need to, you may not get the idea of a body while you are there.
Okay, Bhante.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Right. Yes. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay. You are welcome. Okay. You simply have to be there when you are there.
Thank you very much, Bhante.
Yeah. Okay, you are welcome. Sanai. Okay, so we have come to the end of the session. There are no more questions.
Hi, Bhante. There's one more question that I received. May I ask?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Dear Bhante, I practice Vipassana diligently, but I feel like I'm becoming depressed. I see so much suffering resulting from the body and the mind. There's a desire within me to switch from Vipassana to Samadhi practice to alleviate this suffering. Is that okay, Bhante? Am I off track in my Vipassana practice?
You can do temporarily. Say, for a short time, you can again switch to a Samatha practice and you can make the mind a little happy again. And once you are comfortable, then again you back to switch to Vipassana. It is true that you may, because different people experience differently, because certain people understand the rapid, say, arising and passing away, that is the impermanent nature, inconstant nature of everything. So that is the impermanent side, one may get more prominent. And certain others may understand the suffering, the unsatisfactoriness. So that is another aspect. Another person may understand, okay, this whole process is happening without my control. There is no any essence here. There is nothing substantial here. So he is more into the non-self. So therefore, from person to person, it may different. So therefore, it seems for you, you understand the suffering characteristic. So in order to balance, it is true. Fine, no problem. You can little, for a certain period of time, you can switch to some other practice to gladden the mind. And once mind has become somewhat equanimous, you can switch back to Vipassana. So don't think that you are endlessly going to have this kind of a situation. Say, once your mind has enough understanding about this nature, then it will avoid desiring things. So, I mean, typically mind is attuned to desire things. Therefore, it is going and attached with new things. Suppose present thing is unhappy, sort of suffering, so it is desiring something new, expecting happening from that something new. But later, more and more the mind understands no point of desiring things, no point of going to new things. How about putting everything away? So that idea will come to the mind, that understanding will come to the mind. So at that time, simply keep the mind free from everything. And that is a release of the mind. So then you may not feel suffering. Instead, you may feel free from suffering. So mind has come to a region which is away from the conditioned phenomena, which is away from suffering region. Now you are in a different domain where mind has nothing to worry about this desiring things or grasping things or attach into things. It is simply a different experience. So till that, you have to little endure this process, bear this process. So till mind has that understanding.
Thank you, Bhante.
Okay.
I just received another question.
Mm-hmm.
Should I ask or wait till next week?
Up to you. I can answer, but if you can manage.
Yeah, of course, Bhante.
Okay.
The question says, recently, sitting meditation after midway of body scan, I have gone to empty, calm space and was clearly observing different sounds, thoughts arising in cessation without attaching to them. Towards the end of my allocated time, most of the time, 5 to 7 minutes, the alarm, I usually come back to the real world like a broken rubber band. Last time I felt I was struggling to find
to the place to come back means I was juggling to think whether I was sitting or lying position. Usually, I identify my body touches the chair, or to Anapanasati, kindly advise Thiruvan Sannai.
Yeah, probably. I mean, so if you are observing these different phenomena, so you may lose the typical perceptions that you have. So typically you are, suppose you are a mother, you are with this name, you have these children, you have this husband, this is at this place I am living. All these are the typical perceptions we have. But during the observation, so those names that we have given, those conventional names that we have given, will become null and void. So those are not available at that time. Rather, different phenomena are available and you can't even name them. What you are experiencing is simply their impermanent nature. So while the session is over, so in order to switch yourself back to the conventional world, it might take a little while. So it doesn't matter. It is all right. So this is how it is happening. But later actually you can switch in a more convenient manner. So at this time you need to little bear the things, so slowly switch yourself back to the typical world. Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Bhante. We are finally at the end of the questions for today.
Okay, good. So we have spent 1.5 hours listening to Dhamma and discussing certain aspects of the Dhamma. So with that we were able to accumulate a lot of merits. Let's share these merits with everyone by reciting the traditional verses. Ettavata cha amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Ettavata cha amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Ettavata cha amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Akasattha cha bummattha deva naga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chirang rakkantu sasanam. Akasattha cha bummattha deva naga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chirang rakkantu desanam. Akasattha cha bummattha deva naga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chirang rakkantu mamparam. Idam vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.